Kildare County Council has just issued its 2021 annual report, and in an overview of the report, the interim chief executive says the COVID-19 pandemic presented significant challenges for the citizens, communities and businesses of Kildare. Providing and maintaining essential services was a considerable challenge for Kildare County Council. However, well, let's see what the however is. I think the support of the community, the empathy, goodwill and resilience of people and businesses in Kildare and throughout the country should be acknowledged and commended, says Sonia Kavanagh. Good morning, Sonia.
Morning, Clem. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us this morning. I think it's first chat here and on the station as interim chief executive. Congratulations, belated to your elevation to the position. Now, the challenges, how difficult was it?
I think it has been difficult because we've had to balance, I suppose, public health and safety, the safety of the staff and members of the public who are coming in to access our services, and the councillors, and whilst maintaining those essential services and keeping the show on the road, and not just the regular delivery of service, but also significant capital projects as well. So I suppose we've done a number of things in terms of there's been significant innovation in IT and blended working and all of those things that you've seen over the last 2 years. And I think those are things that we're going to keep and build on now for moving forward as well.
All right. So we're going to go through as much of the report as we can. It's a huge report, and I was through it over the week. Weekend, and I said to myself, my God, the amount of work that's gone into compiling all this amount of material must have taken months and months and months. I wouldn't want to be trying to do it myself. Now, in terms of corporate services, you had 15 meetings of the full council, 65 municipal district meetings, 11 of the corporate policy group, 22 with the strategic policy committee, 4 audit committee meetings, 13 other committees, and the total number of meetings during the year of 130, where in terms of housing, you dealt with 8,047 cases. Planning, which we've been talking about on this programme last week, 3,322. Roads, transportation and public safety, 2,580 cases. Environmental protection, 2,395. And corporate services, 2,462. You do nothing over there.
In one way, it's good to put these figures out to show people that we are actually working away. And on top of that, there was 2,500 representations made by councillors as well, or 40 councillors. So, yes, there's a very significant workload in that. And, you know, we moved from the council offices here to Newbridge Town Hall because it was a bigger location for some of the meetings. And then we moved online as well. So we had to be quite flexible during that period as well.
Indeed you did. Now, on top of that, you dealt with 158 requests for freedom of information.
Yes.
52 of those were granted. But there were 56 refusals in terms of that. Now, I don't want to divert away from the main report, and I will come to the main headlines in a couple of minutes' time. But last week in the programme, we had the Ombudsman, Ger Deering, on, and he referenced Kildare County Council in regards to refusing a number of requests in terms of appeals that were going on to do with planning and stuff like that. On what grounds mainly are you refusing freedom of information requests? Is it all to do with GDPR?
Not necessarily. Usually there's some aspect of the request that's sensitive, either commercially sensitive or in some way else can't be released. I mean, the tendency under the Freedom of Information legislation is to release as much information as possible. And then there's a strict number of circumstances around which you can refuse. One of them is that if the information is already in the public arena, you can refuse a request on that basis. So, you know, but the tendency is to release as much information as possible.
Now, he was making the point in regards to a couple of the complaints which involved the ESB. He was criticising the council for consulting the ESB in the first place before you issued a decision on that. Will that change in terms of consulting third parties?
I suppose each case is taken on its own merits, and where we have a case where there's another party mentioned or are very much involved in the subject matter, we would consider whether or not we need to contact that party and decide whether or not they need to be notified that actually this request is in before we release the information. We take that on a case-by-case basis, really.
All right. Now, in terms of housing, let's look at that, because it's one of the biggest topics that come up, Sonia. And you built 27, you acquired 144, you leased 334, you supported HAPS and RAS by 447, a total of 952 houses. And as much as that might be, of course, it's never enough.
That's right. As you know, you were talking about it earlier on about the first home scheme, and under Housing for All, there's a number of different schemes that are being introduced. And everything is really trying to ramp up the level of supply that's coming into the market to deal with that issue of affordability and to try and address the issues at local level about, you know, the number of people who are on the social housing list and maybe who are also, some may be homeless. So it's a very significant issue. And then added on top of that, at the moment, we have the issue with Ukrainians coming into the country who've been displaced by war as well. So I suppose it's a huge challenge for every local authority.
And can you clarify, because I think I've heard this elsewhere, that in response to criticisms or perceived that the Ukrainians coming in from the country might start jumping the social housing lists, in fact that is not happening. Sure, it's not, because no social housing is being handed to Ukrainian people. Alternative accommodation in hotels, guest houses is what's been sourced. 100% is. Am I correct there?
You're totally correct. And in fact, they're not entitled to social housing. So it's not even as if they're at the bottom of the list. At the moment, they are not entitled to social housing. So everything that we are, generally, they're emergency rest centres at the start, and then they're looking at pledge properties. So they're the properties that people were asked to, where they were asked to pledge properties to the Irish Red Cross, and local authorities are now being asked to match those pledge properties up with people who are in these emergency rest centres. And again, they're emergency rest centres that are over and above what we would normally have access to in terms of homeless accommodation.
Yeah. 2,952 assessments were done in 2021. A total of 787 social housing properties were allocated, 95 of which were allocated through the choice-based letting system, an increase of 29 from 2020. Those 787 social housing properties, are they from existing local authority estates around the county, or do you source social housing by purchasing in private estates, as we, for the want of a better description?
They're a mixture. So last year we would have purchased 144 properties. Now moving forward, the focus will be on building social housing and less on leasing and less on acquisition. But the for any, say for 2021, there was 144 properties acquired, so any of those that were ready would have been allocated in that total figure, but the rest of them would have been in our housing stock.
I'm looking there, 952 total units delivered, 11 first housing first replacements, 787 social housing allocations, 285 RAS properties. What are they? Rental, is it?
The rental accommodation scheme,
And
so private
rented. And you spent €3.5 million on homeless services in the county.
That's right. That's right. It's a very significant figure. And we also lead, we're the lead authority for the region as well. So I suppose there's a lot of regional funding going through that as well.
Now, we'll leave the housing there for the moment, because there's a lot more in it, and we could spend a week of programmes indeed talking about this. The council has been very busy during the year supporting businesses as well. And given we all here in KFM included, we all faced the increased challenges over the last 2 years. And Jackie McNabb from your local enterprise has been on with us frequently on the programme. The council did allocate a lot of money to businesses throughout the county. 2 million, I think, for areas such as shopfront improvements, start-up and expansions. In addition, 4,000 clients availed of the LEO training programmes.
And it was amazing because I'd check in regularly with Jackie, and her feedback from the business community was a lot of the time they wanted feeling of support, so it was training and also networking opportunities online at the time. So people wanted to feel like they weren't alone. So quite apart from the financial support, the support of knowing that they had somebody in the enterprise office that they could contact, and that they would be put in contact with other people if they needed specific mentoring or coaching, that was very much appreciated as well.
Okay, a lot of work done in playgrounds across the county in all the municipal districts, I note, in regards to that. I want to move out, if you're tracking me on the report or whatever, but given that you were would have been instrumental in the writing of it with your staff, you're more than familiar. On page 32, tell me about this Kildare integration strategy 2020 to 2026. Who or what are you integrating?
It's mainly in relation to people coming into the county, new communities and so on. We would have been involved with other agencies and so on in relation to that, and we were trying to make sure that we had representatives from the migrant population actually involved in the preparation of that strategy.
Now, one of the huge things, of course, is the Kildare Library Service. 6,683 followers, indeed, an audience of over 96,000, mix of online and everything like that. And there's wonderful work being done across the Arts Service, if I might mention them in the same mouthful as well. You have the Irish Writers' Centre, the Nace Poetry Town, the Kildare Readers' Festival, projects for kids and for adults, musical highlights as well. And aside from the general wonderful libraries, including where I live in Athy myself, in the former Dominican church there, there's a new library being built for Nace, is there?
That's right. The current library is in the harbour in Nace, but the area, the municipal district in Nace, serves about 25,000 people. So we've outgrown that particular building. And the Nace Town Hall, you know it there in the centre of town, it's a very historic building. So funding was sourced to actually redevelop that town centre really historic building and do it in a very sensitive way, and we're going to hopefully have that ready by the end of this year. So it's going to be a community and cultural centre, including the library, including also the country market, who used to trade there for 35 years and have a market space out the back and events, and hopefully we'll do some work with the Moat Theatre, which is next door to it as well, so to really put a focus back on Nace Town Centre.
Oh, it's going to be a fantastic building.
Yeah.
5.9 million euros going to be spent
on
it. That's some money, I'll tell you. And also, just I'd like to note one thing that the Library Service is pursuing. It's these things called sensory pods that were purchased for Leixlip and Kildare Town Libraries for people who might be on the autism spectrum or might be facing anxiety-based challenges. I think that's very, very commendable.
Yeah, and I think our library service has, you know, from speaking to Marion and others, it's so innovative, and this is something that they feel would be a huge addition to our libraries, and we've made the purchase for Leixlip and Kildare Town, but we would hope that they would be rolled out to all our libraries, space permitting.
All right. Would you mind just staying with us for a minute while I take a quick break?
Yes,
and
no bother.
We're going to have a look at, I wanted just to mention before we go to the break, Lucina Russell, your arts officer, of course.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Marion Higgins at the library. Lucina doing wonderful work at the arts end as well. The Culture Night, Kildare Local Live Performances Programme, Arts Grants, the Riverbank Arts Centre. You've mentioned the Moat Theatre, of course, Kildare Music Generation, and wonderful work going on there. Just a quick quick break. We're speaking with Sonia Kavanagh, Interim Chief Executive of Kildare County Council, on the annual report for the Council 2021, which has just been issued.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Welcome back. We're discussing Kildare County Council's annual report for 2021, where there's a budget of a couple of hundred million euro being spent on our behalf right across the county in the full range of services that we have been discussing. We mentioned indeed the Kildare Library Service, the Kildare Arts Service, and of course, let's not forget the Kildare Decade of Commemorations that we feature frequently on the programme here. Wonderful work being done, incorporated in the Library Service by the likes of Mary O'Corrigan, James Durney, Carl Kiley as well. That's a very important part because, Sonia Kavanagh, Interim Chief Executive of the Council, we are in the couple of commemoration years. For example, this year we'll be commemorating the Civil War, the outbreak of the Civil War, which happened in this month back in 1922, or rather in early July.
That's right, and I think there would have been concerns around the country about how the commemorations would be dealt with and how sensitively and so on. And I think the Decade of Commemorations Committee, chaired by Councillor Pádraig McAvoy, have really struck the balance right in terms of the types of events they've been doing and the highlights that they had in 2021 in terms of the military seminar, and all have proven to be very popular.
Okay, and well done, all of them. Now, as I said, you're doing nothing over there, as I said early on. And there's 1,030 of you. Clerical and Ministry 458, Managerial 7, which is good to see, by the way, because you often have public bodies accused of being top-heavy at management, but certainly 7 at managerial level out of a total of 1,030. Non-DOEHLG, I'm not sure what that is, but you have, I think, 6 full-time in that. Outdoor staff, 291. Professional technical, 227. Retained firefighters, 40. And retained firefighters who are employed by the local authority, 2, and et cetera, et cetera. And the fire service, let's not forget them, because right across the county, and we have the chief fire officers and indeed deputy chief fire officers, Ben Woodhouse, the likes of those on frequently with us, they perform a vital service right across the county.
Absolutely, a hugely important service, and the even though not directly at the senior personnel, Cillian Barrett and so on in the fire service, would have given a huge amount of advice in terms of major emergency management and business continuity right throughout the pandemic. Yeah, it's absolutely a vital service.
Yeah, Cillian has been with us often. Now, I haven't the time to get into a long debate on this, but you have, of course, local area plans for Naas, High, Maynooth, Kildare Town, across the various municipal districts. We've been discussing planning situations with listeners here on the programme recently, saying, I can't get planning permission from a house, for my house, on our own family land, etc., etc. And remarks being made that Kildare County Council is only concerned about crowding everyone into urban areas and we can't get responses or whatever else. What's your reply to people out there who are say they are very frustrated with, one, the planning policy of the council, and two, what they would perceive as their inability to get meetings?
I suppose I'll take the last question first. Yeah. It is possible to get pre-planning meetings and so on, where we've been offering online planning meetings, and they have been working well. And I think that was the feedback coming back to agents as well, that they have been working well. In relation to one-off planning permissions, unfortunately, I suppose, and this is something that leads into climate change and climate action as well, the national policy, regional policy and local policy all talks about consolidation of towns and villages and preventing creep into the countryside. And that is, I suppose, context in which we are working. Now, there are very specific conditions under which you can apply and perhaps be granted planning permission when you are out in the countryside and you have a reason to be in the countryside, i.e. farming and so on. But they are very specific conditions, and it's not easy to get permission for a one-off house. That's absolutely the case, but that is in line with policy, and that's national and regional policy as well.
And as was mentioned to us by a councillor during the week, is it a case that if Kildare County Council steps outside the national parameters, that you can be actually brought back into line by national government?
Absolutely, yeah, and it has happened very recently with neighbouring counties as well in terms of their county development plans. You can get a ministerial direction and the Office of the Planning Regulator, I suppose, keeps an eye, an overarching eye, on everything that is happening in terms of planning a policy around the country as well. So absolutely, we have to adhere to that national and regional policy.
We're getting inquiries, Sonia. Is the planning walk-in, is the planning office open for walk-ins at the moment?
That I would have to check for you, Clem, but I can provide that information back to the team there and let you know what the situation is.
If you would.
I would say it's by appointment, but I can follow up.
All right. 5.76 million spent, funding obtained by strategic projects and the public realm. 1,846 planning applications received. 262 heritage planning applications being received as well. The whole area of roads, transportation and public service, one of the biggest functions that's undertaken by the council. We're talking about the M4 Maynooth to Leixlip, the Maynooth Eastern Ring Road, and one, of course, the Selbridge to Hazelhatch Link Road, the Naas Permeability Improvement Project, the Newhall Junction Improvement, the Naas to Salins Greenway, the Bridge Rehabilitation Programme, and indeed the new Outer Relief Road in Athy, all underway at the moment, Sonia.
Absolutely, and I suppose sustainable travel is a key focus for us moving forward, but also that we have enabling infrastructure in place so that we are really pro-business and encouraging an economic development, because, as you know, the more business and economic development we can have going on in the county, it means that we're bringing in development contributions and we can provide community facilities and so on. So it's a circular sort of a thing that we have to ensure that infrastructure is there to help accessibility into the county and around the county.
A lot of money being spent on it. Department of Transport gave you nearly 19 million. Transport Infrastructure Ireland near 10 million. National Transport Authority 9.2 million. And out of your own resources, you contributed 26.149 million.
Yeah, it's a very significant spend, and that would be maintenance and upkeep of local roads as well. So there, it has always been a very significant spend in the county, there's over 2,500 kilometres of roads in the county and three major motorways. So yeah, very significant spend there.
By the way, just I'm jumping around through the report, coming to its conclusion now in the next 2 minutes, Sonia. Going back to the fire service, there were 450 calls made to the Naas fire service, 200 in Athy, 250 in Maynooth, 150 in Monastreven, and 155 in Leixlip. And of course, you also fund the civil defence, do you not? That's part of the fire service, is it?
Absolutely. And you know, it's mainly a volunteer service, but Tricia McNeela is our civil defence officer and has been for quite some time, and we're looking at an assistant civil defence officer as well to assist Patricia, because you know the good work that civil defence do. They have been a stalwart.
Absolutely. 2,500 kilometres of roadway, just going back to that, with 64.2 million funding of roadworks programme in 2021 alone. Now, finally, just to get to the whole area of environment, water and climate action. You're putting huge emphasis on that in your report.
Absolutely, and I think moving forward, we'll be looking at a local climate action plan that will have to be delivered. We're waiting on guidelines on that, but that'll be a very significant plan, and that will have targets in it that will have to be delivered by 2030 as well. So there will absolutely be a very significant focus on climate over the next few years, as there has been in the past couple of years, but it will be ramping up, I would say, going towards 2030.
Indeed, in regard to that, and just mentioning water flood relief schemes, the Morell Flood Management Scheme, the Athy Flood Relief Scheme, the Naas Flood Relief Scheme, 240 litter inspections, 40 bring banks, that's your bottles and stuff to the banks, 30 active cemeteries managed, 60 million euro of funding for the community and climate action programme over the 3 years. Is that over the next 3 years or over the last 3 years, Sonia?
I think it's over the next 3 years.
Don't worry about it. I'm just corrected. Responding to the charts, but it is a considerable, huge amount of money that's been put in it. Overall, what you handle a budget in excess of over, is it 200 million?
Well, between capital and revenue, there's over 300 million a year. There's about 170 million in terms of the revenue budget, the day-to-day operation. But if you add in the climate or the capital side, you're talking about over 350 million euro.
And that is generated a mixture, I imagine, from where does that source, that funding come from? Rates, national funding?
Absolutely. National funding is very important as well. On the capital side, we depend very much on the development contribution scheme. So that's every time a development is given permission, they're conditioned that they have to pay over a certain amount. Then, you know, national funding for capital projects, you saw there too, most of the projects we've been successful in securing funding. So that's also very important.
All right. It's a huge report, as I said. We could do a lot more in detail on it, but we have two little items that we're going to do ourselves here. We won't subject you to telling us how many meetings were attended by particular councillors or what expenses were claimed by each particular councillor. That's set out in the appendices this report, and we'll give Owen the privilege of telling the people of Kildare how many meetings were attended by each councillor in 2021 and what expenses were being claimed as well. But meanwhile, interim CEO of Kildare County Council, Sonia Kavanagh, presiding over a staff of 1,000 plus, a budget of 300 million euro being spent across all those services that we've been profiling, and there's much more in the report which has just been issued. And if you want to find out more about it, go on to the council's website, kildarecoco.ie, and just click on publications. You'll get the annual report straight away. Lovely talking to you, Sonia. Thank you for that.